What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen, and this is Curious City. Chicago is a city of neighborhoods, and some of them are major hubs for different ethnic communities, like Chinatown, Little Village, Ukrainian Village, just to name a few. Well, Curious Citizen Kayla Villegas had a question about a certain enclave here in Chicago after learning about Little Manila in New York City.
This made me curious if Chicago has its own Filipino neighborhood as well.
May is Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander Heritage Month. So today, we're going to revisit this story from WBEZ's Micah Yasin. She went in search of Chicago's Filipino neighborhood.
We have this common unifying character. We are Filipinos.
And later in the show, with Filipino fusion restaurants like Kasama and Bayan Co. making a big splash in Chicago, we look at how the community is helping each other get visibility and success. But first, Micah Yasin kicks us off after the break.
On the Vocalo Hotline, we've got the soundtrack for your Friday nights. If you need to hear that one song you love or want a dedicated track to that special someone, I'm taking your calls and DMs. Tune in every Friday night at 8, both on WBEZ and Vocalo.org.
Curious City is supported by the Poetry Foundation, with a reminder that Chicago is a poetry town. That's why Poetry Magazine is proudly called Chicago home for more than 100 years. Poetry publishes contemporary poetry, including talents like Ada Limon, Maggie Smith, Ocean Vuong, and Avery R. Young. Learn more at poetrymagazine.org.
I'm Micah Yasin. I'm a Filipino-American who grew up in the Midwest. When I moved to Chicago 5 years ago, I had the same question as our Curious City listener. Where is the Filipino neighborhood? To find the answer, we need to look back at the three major waves of Filipinos coming to Chicago. In the early 1900s, Filipinos were able to immigrate to the States while other Asian immigrants were barred from the country because of laws like the Chinese Exclusion Act. That's because the Philippines had just become a U.S. colonial territory after the Spanish-American War in 1898.
The first significant wave were the pensionados, which were Filipino, mostly male students.
That's James Arcedillas, author of Raising Hell in the Heartland, Filipino Chicago, and the Anti-Martial Law Movement. Pensionados were Filipino students from wealthy families who got government scholarships to attend school in the U.S. Many in Chicago lived in and around their college campuses, like in Hyde Park and other parts of the South Side. The goal was for students to learn about American customs and go back to the Philippines.
The expectation is that Filipinos in the Philippines are going to assimilate to the American way and that they would embrace the American mores and traditions is the quote-unquote civilized and modern way of living.
James says this first wave of Filipinos paved the way for the next wave in the 1920s and 30s.
Many of them worked in service work, domestic work, working in someone's home, or maybe doing service sector jobs, or a good amount of them were also working for the Pullman Company.
Yeah, the Pullman Company, where historic rail cars were built and where the nation's first black labor union has its roots. Many of Chicago's early Filipino residents lived and worked there, too.
Okay.
So I took a trip down to the Pullman National Historical Park to meet with Archer Heights resident Clarissa Alhantera.
So this tour is also, like, it's hard to keep a kid entertained.
She created a historical tour of significant Filipino places on the South Side for her six-year-old son.
My husband's African-American and I'm Filipino, and so this was a very practical way that, like, my son AJ could kind of see both of our communities working together. And so for him, for AJ to kind of see that in Chicago there were places of solidarity between both communities, I think just excites me, but also, like, helps him to understand a little bit more about the history of both communities.
After black porters began organizing in the mid-1920s, the Pullman Company hired hundreds of Filipinos to pit them against their black counterparts. Clarissa reads from her tour script that Filipinos soon realized they were being used unfairly.
And wanted to join alongside their Black colleagues to be in solidarity to push back against the company. The two communities worked together as the Filipino-Americans joined the Brotherhood of the Sleeping Car Porters to protest the management about working conditions.
As a transplant from California, living on the South Side, Clarissa feels connected to Filipino-American history near where she lives.
Filipinos have history like all over our city and not just in one particular area.
So in my search for Chicago's Filipino enclave, Southside neighborhoods may have been an early hub, but today, many people associate the North Side with Filipino Americans. This could be because of the Rizal Center, which is on the North Side in Lakeview. This was a place where a lot of Filipino folks communed in Chicago, especially after the third wave of immigration.
Hello.
Okay.
Pass up.
Thank you, Tito.
I met with Tito Jerry Clarito of the Jose Rizal Center and the Filipino American Council of Greater Chicago. He was part of the third major wave, which came after the Immigration and Nationality Act of 1965. It ended quotas for immigrants coming to the States, including Filipinos.
I still remember. I came here in 1980, and we lived at Irving Park, close to Western. And I can remember there were only two Filipino storefronts.
The Rizal Center is named after the national hero of the Philippines, Jose Rizal. Since its opening in 1974, it's been a place where the community comes to socialize, but also organize, like they've done in the past around legislation addressing workers' and veterans' rights. Many of the Filipinos arriving at the time were professionals, like nurses.
The nurses live around the hospitals, and the hospitals are also dispersed. And that's the reason why the residents of the Filipinos were mostly close by their place of work.
You could find many people living in Northside neighborhoods like Edgewater, Lincoln Square, and Albany Park, and definitely the suburbs. So there isn't quite one concentrated Filipino neighborhood, but it does raise another question. Why are Filipinos so spread out around the city? Tito Jerry says it has to do in part because of social mobility through professional careers and a Filipino sense of independence.
In the Philippines, we have, 7,000 islands. And we have about 100 languages. So I think respecting that reality, that's just the way we are. But we have this common unifying character. We are Filipinos.
While Filipinos don't belong to just one neighborhood, it's clear, Chicago is our neighborhood.
WBEZ producer Micah Yasin. Now, Chicago might not have a specific Filipino enclave, but the community comes together and supports each other nonetheless. And Filipino food in Chicago is definitely a part of that. I'm gonna take a look at Chicago's thriving Filipino food scene after the break.
This WBEZ podcast is supported by Wise, the app for international people using money around the globe. With the Wise account, you can send, spend, and receive in up to 40 currencies with only a few simple taps. Download the Wise app today or visit wise.com. Terms and conditions apply. Be smart. Get Wise.
The Filipino food scene is actually getting its flowers right now in neighborhoods across the city.
Hello.
Hi.
What's going on?
We went to a couple spots to find out more.
Francis Almeida. Oh, that's nice coming out.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good, kind of rolls off the tongue.
First, I met up with Francis Almeida in one of his many Philippines-inspired businesses.
You don't put any sweetener or anything, do you?
I do.
Oh, you do?
Absolutely.
I'm kind of addicted to matcha right now, and you're hearing him make me a matcha latte sweetened with ube, which is a purple Filipino yam.
Ube, just do the ube. Let's keep it. Yeah, let's do that. I've never had ube in it.
Let's get in the theme.
Yeah, exactly. Let's get on brand here.
Francis is the owner of a coffee shop called Side Practice in Lincoln Square. He opened it in 2020, and it was originally called Side Project.
The whole idea was to not only showcase the things that I was working on or what my friends and family were working on, but also this network of people who all had side projects.
Love it.
Around that time, during the pandemic, everyone had a side project, whether you were making sourdough bread or making matcha for the first time because you had some time. But then what started to happen at Side Practice is we started to get known for the starting place for entrepreneurs and makers and people who wanted to start something, especially in the minority community, let alone the Filipino community. And a lot of things were born from that.
Filipino food has had a presence in Chicago for a long time. Francis specifically name-checked Ruby's, which opened in 1997, Isla Pilipina, which opened in 2003 and closed in 2020. There's also Uncle Mike's Place, which has been serving Filipino breakfast since 2008, Sunda, opened in 2009, Pecking Order, which served fried chicken for a couple years starting in 2012, and then more recently, Bayan Co. opened in 2018, and Boonies opened in 2023. I mean, honestly, there are too many more to count. But when I asked him why this cuisine is getting its due right now, Francis gave some of the biggest props to Tim Flores and Jeannie Kwan, who opened a restaurant you may have heard of called Kasama in 2020.
Establishment Kasama, the world's first and only Filipino Michelin-starred restaurant.
I think there has been moments where Filipino food has gotten a shine, whether it's from Anthony Bourdain talking about it or writing an article about it, but then it would kind of die down again. Mm. You know, it would get all this hype and then it would go slow down.
Yeah.
But then in 2020, when we all started to get a rise from it, I think it was just like some kind of shift happened, and not only did Kasama open up or Side Practice open up, but a bunch of other places started to come out of the darkness and open up their own thing. And it's a beautiful thing. You know, there's a big wave going on, and let's just ride it for as long as we can. And that wave, it came, and we're just riding it at the moment.
Yeah. How's it feel to be riding the wave?
Oh my God. I feel grateful for it and blessed that it's happening. Cause it's, you know, it kind of gives you this feeling that anything is really possible. And a lot of people, if they're working on Filipino on this food or cuisine on the side, it's like now is a better time than ever to be able to showcase what you're doing.
Mm.
Yeah, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
Through Side Practice, Francis has had a hand in showcasing some of these businesses, including two spots in Ravenswood. He co-owns a Filipino-Hawaiian restaurant called Kanin. And as an investor and advisor, he helped open a very popular Filipino bakery called Del Sur.
Oh my God, you can take it with you.
He's also a part owner of the spot where we're having this conversation, Novel Pizza in Pilsen, which serves coffee and matcha and tavern-style pizza, including one with jardinera and longaniza.
So longaniza is that breakfast sausage that we use in Filipino breakfast. It's kind of like this sweet sausage, and then jardinera, you know, spicy awesomeness.
If someone were coming here and they're like, this is a normal, amazing pizzeria, what's so Filipino about it?
Yeah.
What would you tell them?
Oh, I'd actually like if someone would come in here and say like, hey, I thought I was coming into a Filipino spot. This is not necessarily, this is just the pizzeria. Like, at least the way that I'm running businesses, I do think there are, you know, businesses, Filipino cuisine out there that should be saying that they're, you know, that's what they do, you
sure.
know, but we're, at least here at Novel, it's like, we're a Filipino and Mexican owned pizzeria, but also we're a Chicago style pizzeria. And I just want people to know that we make good pizzas here.
Yeah,
so
that's what you're going for.
Yeah.
Yeah. Francis says another reason Filipino cuisine is booming in Chicago is because the Filipino business community is so tight and supportive.
I don't know if Francis mentioned anything about our little group chat on Instagram.
No.
We're called The Seed.
Kathy Vega Hardy is the owner and chef at my next stop, A Taste of the Philippines.
Nice. We have one pickup a month.
Her restaurant is in Jefferson Park and is one of the businesses that got a lift from a Side Practice pop-up.
Yeah, they're hot. They're fresh. They were out of ube donuts by the time I got there.
It's green, bright green.
But they did have a pandan cookie.
Crunchy,
and soft. And Kathy made me one of her most popular items, lumpia.
Mmm. Mmm. Ooh. Crunchy, sweet, and savory. What more can you ask for? For the person listening who doesn't know, what is lumpia?
Lumpia is hand-rolled egg rolls. Ooh. So we hand-roll everything here. We take pride in that.
As you should.
Another essential dish of Kathy's is adobo.
So it's like chicken or pork or even mushrooms simmered in soy sauce, vinegar, garlic, bay leaves, peppercorn, or lots of like coarse black peppers, mm-hmm. served over rice here. It's okay. A staple.
Kathy was born in Manila. She says her family moved to Springfield, Illinois when she was 9 years old.
For whatever reason, my dad moved us in little Springfield.
It's the
not
capital.
Chicago, not San Francisco, in a little town, Springfield. It's like 130,000, 120,000 people, right?
Her journey to owning the restaurant we're sitting in started in Denver in 2012 after she lost her job as an accountant. She says she took it as a sign.
I've always wanted to kind of own a business, but I didn't know what. Mm-hmm. So I think that was the drive that gave me the business. But the downside is I did not cook. But my mom was a chef when we lived in the Philippines.
Wow.
So I flew her out in Denver. I'm like, Mom, cook with me for 2 weeks, you know, and I want to learn. And she's kind of like, you sure you want to do this? Because growing up, you didn't want to help. Like there's four of us girls, my sisters. I was a daughter that didn't want to sit in the assembly line of like lumpia wrapping. Mm. So she kind of calls this as like my karma because now I do it for a living. So yeah, so I just didn't like.
Back wrapping.
Exactly. So I'm like, I've rolled, I don't know, maybe over 200,000 lumpias
like
the almost 13 years I've been in business.
Chicago ended up on Kathy's radar after she met a guy named Andrew who lived in the Windy City at the time.
I met my now husband through Instagram. He slid into the DMs and was like, hey,
love
your food. And I'm like, who's this guy? But you couldn't see him. But anyway.
She was flying back and forth between Denver and Chicago in 2017. And that's when she noticed Chicagoans must have a taste for Filipino cuisine.
Every time I would go to Daily Plaza or South Loop Farmers Market, I sold out within 40 minutes or something.
Wow. Whoa, that's quick.
So every single time. So I'm like, I have to move there.
What do you think it is about the cuisine that people really latch onto?
I think it's because it's like a melting pot of a lot of different, like Spanish influence, Chinese and American kind of blended all together. And with the way I prepare, it's like less greasy. You know, it's like a melting pot of a lot of different cultures.
Yeah.
But we made it our own, too. Mm-hmm. So,
do you think there's something that you could point to that's like quintessential about Filipino food that you love or that you love to talk about or think about?
If someone were to ask me what the epitome is of being a Filipino, I think it's in our blood, at least with me and my family. We're very giving. We like to serve. Mm. You know, seeing people take that first bite of adobo or lumpia, and they go, oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's like, to me, that's rewarding.
Yeah, it serves you so much.
It serves me so well. So when Lola, that means grandma, or Tita, that means aunt in Tagalog, when we get the okay from them going, that's really good, I'm like, yes. I just feel like I won in life. You know? Because they're very critical.
This sentiment actually came up a few times, that despite the many influences in Filipino cuisine, there's a sense for some folks that traditional is the best and only way to go. It's kind of a balancing act.
I'm a huge fan of keeping traditions and authenticity.
Again, here's Francis Almeida.
But I do think a lot of innovation comes from trying new things and being playful and innovative with Filipino ingredients. You know, putting ube in a latte wasn't a thing before 2020, but now I think every cafe has ube, you know? It's like, or putting longanisa in a dish. It's kind of an inauthentic way of presenting Filipino food. Yeah.
Maybe the current rise in popularity of Filipino food in Chicago has something to do with what Francis is saying here. Despite some restaurants being around for a while now, this younger generation is taking an opportunity to try something new. And not just with food, but with entrepreneurship in general.
Being second generation, there's a lot more awareness that you could actually do your own thing. Not to say that that was a thing before, but like my parents came here from the Philippines just to, and all they knew was to work, you know, to survive. It wasn't really a thing to kind of follow a side project and that side passion and make that a reality. And I do believe that that was a route for some, but not most. You know, a lot of titas and aunts of mine are all nurses, you know, and I think this generation is maybe the first generation where we're at an age right now to be like, well, maybe the medical field isn't the only thing I have to get into, or can I actually open up something on my own? And I think you're starting to see that.
Francis says a perfect example of that is his cousin, Ryan. He's both his business partner at Novel Pizza and a nurse.
He gets to be able to open up a pizzeria and work, you know, here on his days off, bless him. But that's becoming more of a norm, which I really appreciate and am really excited for, yeah. At least in the city. Yeah.
I spoke with Francis and Kathy back in early 2025. Since then, A Taste of the Philippines is still catering, hosting events, and serving brunch. But earlier this year, Kathy had to put things on pause temporarily because she was battling breast cancer. Today, she's happy to report that she is cancer-free. We asked her if we could mention that on the podcast, and she said, yes, as long as we also tell you, get screened. She said she did not, and she found out by accident. As for Francis, these days, he says he's still cranking along. And cranking is right. Since we spoke to him, both Del Sur and Conan in Ravenswood are open and bustling with his support. Could Chicago call that area a little Manila? The chef at Conan, Julius Takaneda, told our colleagues at the Chicago Sun-Times that between his bakery and restaurants like Boonies and Bayan Co., it could come to pass. We'll see what happens. And one more thing before we let you go. We're starting a mini-series called Curious Midwest, where we answer your questions about the connections and even rivalries between Chicago, Detroit, and Milwaukee. Send us your questions at wbez.org/curiouscity. This week's Curious City was reported by Micah Yason and me. Justin Bull is our producer. Susie Ahn is our editor. Curious City is a production of WBEZ Chicago and is a part of the NPR network. If you have questions about Chicago and the region, send them our way at curiouscity@wbez.org or visit us at wbez.org/curiouscity. I'm your host, Erin Allen. Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you next week.